weather, most of these sealers have to be applied above a specific temperature, so summer is the perfect time. This project is easy, relatively inexpensive, and a large squeegee is the only tool you need. I'm Danny Lippard with tips for today's homeowner.
Midas really is a touch better.
Midas Auto Service and Tires, Quincy.
WTAD.
Yes, the Mary Griffith Show. Folks, sometimes it takes me a while to get my fat carcass up on this chair. So that's why there was a little bit of dead air. Get that microphone right in front of you, Roy, and talk right into it because Roy Webb, our superintendent of schools, is here. Now, Roy thinks he's going to talk today about schools, and we are going to get to that, but we have some important information first. It's Shark Week. So, Roy, would you rather be eaten by a bull shark or a great white?
A great white, I would suppose. It seems a lot more dramatic.
Okay. The bull shark is actually more dangerous.
Oh,
now get that right. Put your thing like this. Yeah, get it right.
Yes.
Move your thing over more to look through me. You know how a gunner does it. There you go. You're an old army man.
There we go.
You've wanted to have me in your gun sights for a while, I know. So usually I don't have that much trouble getting guests to say, put me in the gun sight. And when it comes to gummy sharks, what's your favorite flavor?
Green.
Okay, so the green gummy shark, those of you who want to get A's and pass out of hard classes, you can bribe the superintendent of schools with green gummy sharks.
Anything lemon-lime is good.
Anything lemon-lime. Okay, teachers, remember that when your review is coming up.
There we go.
Well, we're going to talk today about back to school. And there are still people who are confused that Quincy Public Schools have not made a decision. You have made a decision.
We have. We worked hard on a plan. Now, I'm not going to guarantee that decision will never change, but we have made a decision, and on 20 August, we're ready for in-person instruction, and we still have that remote option for parents that choose that.
Now, when is registration over? I mean, you're going to have to know these numbers. Has that
right.
time come and gone?
Yeah, yesterday, registration was over. I think we're running about 80% to 90%, depending on which school, have registered, which is good. So, but we're really asking, that's one of my reminders for today. If you have not registered, please take time to do that. And we need people to register. Because, right, we're placing teachers. We have teachers asking, well, who's my child's teacher? I don't even know yet. Well, we don't know yet because we're still trying to figure out those numbers. Because we may have to move some teachers into a remote teaching role.
Okay, and so this is why, folks, it's really critical. Do the best you can. I mean, every year, there's always somebody who just shows up and says, well, you know, here's my third grader. Do something with them. But this year, more than ever, get registered. Call today. Find out where your child goes to school geographically. Make sure they're in the right class. And also, you have to pick in-person learning or at-home learning. Now, registration closed yesterday. Do you have any idea what kind of percentage of numbers we're getting at?
We're running about 18 to 20% choosing remote.
Okay.
So the great majority of our parents and our families are still opting for in-person. I think they understand some of the safety measures that we've taken place. Some have said, I want to see what in-person looks like, and so I'm going to try that for a while, and then we're probably going to allow them to move to remote, and we will do that if they feel there's a safety issue, but we're not going to allow them to move from remote to in-person because of some of the logistical items, so that's probably why some are starting in-person a little higher number, so we don't think that remote number will grow, the in-person number will not.
Okay. So right now, about 20% are choosing just to go remote. And can you give us some kind of breakdown? Who chooses remote more likely? Is it the K through 5 more likely? Is it junior high more likely? Or is it high school more likely?
Right now, which surprised me a little bit, I think our numbers are running a little higher in K-5. And, I can see by your face you're a little surprised,
Yeah, because if I could convince my parents, Mom and Dad, I don't want to go to high school, I want to stay around in bed for a little while, you know, and do my work on my laptop. But you are going to have considerations. They have to show up at a certain time. They have to be logged on or something, right?
Yeah, there is expectations. It's 5 or 6 hours of class time every day, whether you're remote or in person. Attendance will be taken. Instruction will occur. You'll still have work to do. You'll still have homework. So, both will kind of mirror at least the curriculum of each other.
Right. So you don't get out of it by going remote. So really, I was surprised, though. I thought more high schoolers would opt out for remote. But
I did, too.
And they probably feel, well, parents are probably a little bit more afraid of their children getting sick when they're younger. They figure the teenagers, they can control their own whether they social distance or
and
not.
Maybe they just want them out of the house a little more. I don't know. But, you know, we're running about, we think it's going to grow. We're having because some students have registered, but they haven't decided yet. So we think that number will grow at the high school a little bit.
Okay. But right now, the deadline to register was yesterday. But please, if you didn't do it, do it today. Speaking as the wife of a Quincy Public School employee, just saying, oh, this is Ernie, take care of him. It's not a real good plan for your kid or for the school personnel. So that's always problematic. So about 20% have registered remote. More are expected to take the remote option as school goes on. And again, you can go from in-class to remote, but you can't go from remote back to in-class for the first quarter or first semester if you're older. So, options, you're trying to be as mindful as ever about options. We're going to talk now about another part of school that has nothing really to do with academics, and that is transportation. You know, for years, the big yellow school bus has rolled up on an appropriate corner and the kids have filed on and, you know, thrown spitballs at each other and done all those things that make riding the school bus so much fun. And this year, you're really asking parents, if at all possible, to avoid a busing situation and to either walk the kids to school, let them walk or ride their own bikes, or take them in your personal car.
Yeah, logistically, that's been a tough one for us to figure out. The state gave us a limit of 50 students on a bus. I don't want anywhere near 50 students on a bus. We have 24 seats on a bus. I would love to get it down to around that range. Our routes are going to run as normal, as a regular route, because some of our parents absolutely need that. And if you need the bus, by all means, use the bus. That's what it's there for. But if at all possible, if you can walk, if you can ride your bike, if you can get a ride, if you can carpool, I've seen parents start to get behind this and start to brainstorm what they can do, how they can get their children to school, work together. It helps us out, and I think it keeps our bus drivers more safe, keeps our students more safe, if I can keep those numbers down. It's a logistical problem for us. We usually, about 4,500 students in Quincy, ride the bus every day, so it's tough when you want to cut that by a third or a half and ask other people to figure that out. It's an inconvenience, but whatever they can do. If they are going to ride a bus that first day, make sure you have a mask. And we're distributing, you know, masks to kids, and we're trying to get one out to them now. But we have some parents that haven't registered, and we have some parents that they've moved, haven't told us. So we're trying to track people down. And one of the reasons is so we can get them that mask for that first day. But expect that mask to be worn. We are. And then the other thing is there's going to be a temperature check. So if your child has a temperature, we're going to send them back home. So if you've got a 5-year-old, please do not just drop off and head to the casino yet. Make sure that they pass that temperature check and that they're ready to go. And being a little funny, but I know parents have to get to work. They have other responsibilities. If you can, wait at that bus stop until that temperature check is taken.
Well, that's critical because, if a child is refused admission to the bus because their temperature is too high, then the bus will pull away. The child is standing there on the corner. And if they return home, if the parents don't allow for that return home time, they could leave. And the child is then inappropriately alone. And I know that the Quincy Public School District does not want that to happen.
We don't. And we're, especially for a 5-year-old or a 6-year-old now, some of our early childhood is door-to-door, so that's not going to be a problem. But those 5- and 6-year-olds, that concerns us. So we are going to have people stationed throughout the community kind of our backup plan, so the bus driver can call back and say, hey, I've got to send a five-year-old home. Well, we will either, the superintendent or someone's going to come pick up that five-year-old and get them to a safe location for those first few days. But they can really help us out if there's a parent or guardian there to take that child.
And, of course, early childhood adopts a totally different set of rules and always has. Early childhood is literally hand-to-hand, so the parent has to be physically present or a guardian, and the child gets on the bus. The temperature will still be taken even though they're a little child, but right then the parent is there. The school bus cannot ever leave a child off or accept a child without the parent being present. So the early childhood will be, that way. But again, you want as few early childhood riders as well, because those buses are even smaller.
Right. And we're asking that as well, too. So,
yeah.
And that leads to another bullet item for me, and that's patience. So this is the first time we're taking temperature checks. We're going to have a lot of different things going on, a lot of new plans. Kids have not been in school for 5 months, so they don't know what's going on. A lot of families are confused. And so even though I think we have a good plan, I think we've practiced that plan, we're working through all the issues, there are going to be things that come up that we're not ready for. There's going to be things come up that parents aren't ready for. So a little patience, a little love, a little caring for your superintendent on down to the teachers, and please just give us a little shot, give us a few days, and we'll get up and operational. We always do, and even with these challenges, we will.
Well, I have to share one story from the inside, I guess. My husband is an early childhood driver, but sometimes since early childhood starts a week later, that he drives regular kids in the first couple of days of school because it is a little chaotic and people don't register and everything. And it's so funny, he's driving the bus from Isles, and all of a sudden, this little kid goes, "You missed my house." Well, they're so used to Mr. Greg taking them right to their home that they miss their bus stop, see? So especially if you've got a kindergartner or first grader, remember, their little mind may still be thinking that the bus driver is going to take them right to your house, and that's not the case. They're going to drop them off at the bus stop. So either be there to greet them or, train them a little bit or pin a note to their...
There you go.
I remember my cousins used to travel a lot, and they flew a lot, and their parents would always just pin a note on them, like, if lost, return to, and make sure they get off at this. My guest today is Superintendent of Schools Roy Webb. About 20% of QPS students have signed up already to learn remotely. Transportation, they are going to absolutely ask that if you can, take your children to school by carpool, walk them to school. If they're old enough, they can ride their bike. They're really asking you to stay off the buses as much as possible, especially in those first few weeks, because there is going to have to be some social distancing. We're going to take a break. When we come back, maybe you have a question or comment. That's what we want to make sure, that your questions get answered. Our number is 223-9300. 1-800-228-WTAD, 1-800-228-9823. We'll be right back. Oh, happy, happy birthday to John Conley, a common man with a common van. His dog ain't got no pedigree. What kind of dog do you have, Superintendent Webb?
We had a black lab a long time ago, but I think we're done with pets.
They cut into travel and adventure time, that's for sure. We're talking with Superintendent Roy Webb. I've received no phone calls, which kind of surprises me, but in a way not, because I think it's a testament that in a world where nobody really knows any answers, you have come up with some good answers for how you're going to at least start school. There's some other things I'm sure you want to tackle. The school board met yesterday, and we do want to let everybody know, the Quincy Public Schools know what they're doing. If you don't have your kid registered, you need to register your child. I mean, they have a plan. It's not like, well, I don't know, we're going to figure it out next week. No, they have a plan, and school is starting on the 20th. So
yeah, keep communicating with us. That's another key thing is even if you're undecided or you've decided to homeschool your child, which isn't the remote option, or in person, communicate that with us so that we can continue to help you and be a resource for you. If you have a change of address or a change of telephone number or email address, let us know so we can put that in our Skyward, because we've been sending out messages really almost weekly between the central office and the schools all summer long, and you've missed out on quite a bit of information, but we can get you up to speed. Reach out to us.
That is so critical. Well, what else is on your agenda? Because I always have a lot of questions to ask, but I want to let Superintendent Webb maybe convey some information. So anything else of...
No, I think you've asked them all. Well, it's important that we register, stay off the bus if possible, communicate, and patience. So
the mask. Okay. The mask. Will there be, you know, some people are saying a bandana is not enough. I mean, the mask has to be sturdy, I guess is what I'm saying. You can't just walk. I mean, how strict are you going to be on what kind of mask they have?
We prefer a cloth face covering, and that's our preference. So that's going into, we want every child to try to have that cloth face covering. It can be a gaiter, it can be a scarf, it can be a face mask. Any of those are acceptable. As long as it's covering the nose and the mouth, we're fine with that. If we'll have children, for medical reasons, they have a doctor's note that says that they can't wear a face mask, we're going to ask them to wear a face shield. So, and we purchase face masks and face shield for every student and every employee. So we're asking them to wear that, try that face shield. If we'll have some children, some of our 3 through 6 year olds, even though as children have been coming into the early childhood center, they've been very good with the face masks. So and they've been wearing them very well. But a 3 through 6 year old may not be able to be in that 6 hours. There'll be plenty of breaks, but even with that, they may struggle with that. So we understand that some kids with autism on the autism spectrum, some kids with severe or cognitive disabilities, we understand that. We're going to work in a caring, loving way. We will try to get them into the mask for longer periods of time, but it just may not occur. We understand those situations.
That's
now,
why it's important for people
yeah,
who
but
can
that,
do it.
14-year-old teenager who just wants to be a smart aleck, they're going to be in a mask, and we're going to ask them to do that in a little more sense of urgency.
Well, and there again. And put on your headphones, Roy, because we've got a caller coming in. There again, you said it. I mean, every child can be taught how to behave. Even 3-year-olds can be, within reason, conform to what is expected of them. Certainly knows they do it in the classroom when they have to write their ABCs. We make an A look like something. We don't let them make a squiggly line and say, that's my A. So, you know, some of this is common sense. We've got a caller. Good morning. Thank you for your patience. What is your on your mind for Roy Webb?
Good morning. I have a question. I'll ask it and then hang up. Will there be any kind of music instruction?
Okay, music instruction, very good. Will there be music instruction in the public schools?
Absolutely. You know, I wanted to keep my job. So Quincy is famous for fine arts. Our band, our chorus, Dr. Pettit and his team have gone to work, and they're ready for that. We'll also have PE. We'll also have, career tech classes at the high school. All of those classes, all those great offerings that kids love and enjoy, along with, some of them love and enjoy math, too. I want to get that out there for my math teachers. But the English, the core content, that all be taken care of. But it was important for us to keep all of our fine arts, keep all of our other options for our kids as well, too. Those are critical. So, yes, we will have those.
You'll have instruction, but you will not have a marching band because the football team's not playing. So, you know, the marching band, unless it just wants to go out and perform, it doesn't have any reason to. So there won't be a fall play, I understand. That's been pushed. The fall musical has been pushed to the spring. So the traditional in-classroom teaching of arts will happen. But some of those extracurriculars, like the fall musical and marching band and things that – those will not happen because there's no way to socially distance.
Right. There's some things that will not happen, and you mentioned a few of them. But I'm not going to say, hey, we're not going to have any concerts or things like that. We may be doing some virtual things where our kids are playing and, send some virtual music home and allow our – because if you're going to be a performing arts person, you want to perform. So we have a pretty – a pretty dedicated and pretty sharp group in our fine arts department. So they may be coming up with some inventive things to do some things. But you're right, the marching band season, and there is a lot more to marching band than the football game. We'll continue. The marching band season was canceled. I know football was moved back to the spring. Soccer was moved back to the spring. And so IHSA is adjusting some things. But we had some sports that have already started. I mean, golf, cross country at the junior high, you know, tennis, also started at the high school. But then you had the junior high, you have baseball, softball, and cross country. So, we're figuring out how to do those safely, and our coaches are involved and engaged in that, but there are still some things happening.
Yes, and of course, technology will lead the way, and nobody knows technology better than kids, so we do want to make sure there's no cause and effect. It was COVID-19, not the retirement of Kathy Dooley, that canceled marching band, okay, you know, just for this fall. Okay, we get that straight. I want to ask you about something that I got in the mail recently because I got my Illinois state refund. The state decided to send me a note to tell me how they spend my tax dollars. And I think they thought that would make me happy to know what they do, but it didn't really make me happy because I found out that they only spend 21% of all that huge income tax for my huge income that I send them. They spend 21% of the state budget for schools. They spend 19% for pensions. Now, I know we can't control the pensions continue to grow. This is getting to the point where the state always said it was their primary responsibility, and some people read that just like you can interpret the Constitution. Well, that doesn't that mean then that 51% of your money should go to schools? Well, we lost that fight years ago. But if the primary responsibility is schools, it won't be long before pensions overtake schools unless a lot more money is added to schools. You feel their pain, I'm sure, in a microcosm. Quincy has to balance all this with the revenues you have. How disconcerting is it in the state of Illinois that so many of our other factors, the debt load is growing there, and that's got to put school support in jeopardy?
State funding, we could do a whole morning on that, Mary, but I will tell you that in the state constitution it says 51% of our funding should come from the state, and it's close to that 20% that you mentioned there. So it's severely inadequate, and that's one of the reasons that our property tax in Illinois is a little higher than our surrounding states. And I will tell you, my 7-member school board does an amazing job. They're very fiscally responsive. They really do. They care about kids, they care about education, but they care about the fiscal aspect. And we do the best we can with those state dollars. And I got into a little social media debate last night, which I probably shouldn't have, but when they said, hey, if you go remote, why don't you send this money, you know, back to us? Well, I'm not going to do that. And I tried to explain to them that, first of all, we're still going to stay operational. We're still going to pay teachers. We're still going to pay everybody. So we don't save a lot by going remote. The second thing is they need to keep in mind is we do an amazing job with the dollars they do send us. And I try to like to point out is our tax rate over the last 5 years has gone from $4.13, and this year it was $3.89. So our tax rate has gone down 24 cents in the last 5 years, and we built this community 5 new schools. So I think our 7-member school board, Ryan Wicker, and our finance team have done an amazing job, and we do look at after every dollar that comes into this district from the state, from the federal government, and from our local property taxes. So I think we do the best we can with the money we have, and we'll continue to do that for our taxpayers.
I recently received a survey, and of course, you know, surveys are only as good as the data, but it was like 849 school districts in Illinois who spent the most. The Kenilworth School District spends $35,859 per student. They must have golden-crusted masks up in Kenilworth. $35,859. Quincy spends $11,793 per person per year, per student per year. Now, Mendon spends $10,734. Macomb spends over $14,000. Payson, $10,145. Pikeland, $11,500. They're pretty tightly grouped. Brown County spends $13,000. Nabucalusa, $14,900 per student. Of course, some of these smaller school districts, you know, it's they're very costly to run. La Harpe, $16,000 per student. So when you think about it, Quincy spends less per student than a lot than Macomb, than La Harpe, than Brown County.
And I would put our course offerings and what we offer kids from special education to high-achieving students, honor students, from career tech to college prep courses, from everything that we offer, our band, our musicals that you talked about, from our athletics, everything that we offer, I think people are blessed in Quincy with the programs we have and the offerings for children. I mean, our valedictorian this year went to Stanford. We send a lot of kids to John.
Oh, I'm sorry, couldn't they get into Illinois?
We have a few that went to University of Illinois, too.
Stanford must have been their second choice.
Yeah, so, but we're proud of our kids and their achievements, and you can go on. My point is you can go on to the University of Illinois or Stanford after you graduate from Quincy, or you can go directly into the trades and out of our career tech program and be a great citizen. I think we're blessed with our programs, and I'm proud of Quincy Public Schools. I can't control what some of the others spend or do, but I think Quincy's gets a pretty good bang for the buck.
Yeah, I mean, Kenilworth is one of the wealthiest cities in the world.
They beat out Crystal Lake. Crystal Lake used to be at the top.
Yeah. But, well, Kenilworth, I don't know where Crystal Lake is. They're pretty close. But $35,859, can you imagine what they must be providing for their kids?
It does kind of outline the inequity in the state, too.
Well, that's what
and,
I brought it up. You know,
yeah, I mean,
if I live in Kenilworth, I want them to spend that. I mean, they probably I'm sure there's nobody renting an instrument there or whatever. You know, they've got everything they could possibly need and, you know, whatever. But it just goes to show we can't control that. We can only do the best with the money we have. And for those who think that Quincy is spending too much money educating children, because I've heard people say, why is it so costly per pupil? Well, we're spending a heck of a lot less than in our recent area. So,
and you can include in recent areas Missouri and Iowa too. They're not anywhere less. We're all near that. In Western Illinois, we're pretty close. Adams
really
County
are.
And but I will tell you, we're also some of the lowest paid teachers in the state, and we're pretty close there as well too.
Yeah, I was telling Roy, got to take a break, but I was telling Roy my niece or my cousin, I should say, not my niece, my cousin. My niece is a teacher too, but my cousin just is getting her first teaching job, and she's getting offers at $48,000 and $50,000 for first time teacher right out of school at some of these wealthy Chicago suburb schools. Whereas if she was working here in Quincy, she'd be making $35,000 to $38,000. So it's
right.
There's a big
and difference. I will tell you, we have 40 new teachers this year, and I don't know your cousin, but I will tell you the 40 that we hired. I think they're the best and the brightest. I mean, some of the people in that room I am extremely impressed with, and they're going to do great things in education.
We're going to take a break. If you still want to make a phone call, 223-9300, 1-800-228-WTAD. We're back. Talk Radio 930 WTAD. Superintendent of Schools Roy Webb is my guest, and we've had a caller who's waited patiently through that commercial break. Good morning. You're on the air. What's your question for Roy Webb?
I have no question, but I am sending a big thank you and compliment to Mr. Webb and all his staff. I believe they're doing an amazing job in this changing world, and I would like for all of them to know we care.
Wow, very nice. Thank you very much. Nice to get a thank you.
It is, and we live in an extremely supportive community. Even people that disagree with my decisions or don't really like everything that we're doing, I still, when I hear from them, they always start off with, I understand the position your teachers are in, your principals are in, and we appreciate all you're doing. Sometimes they throw in a but and or a yet, but for the most part, extremely supportive community, and we're blessed to be in Quincy.
Well, the other thing that we have is we have elected government. I mean, you as the superintendent help guide, you know, decisions, operational decisions, but policy is set by people we elect. Let's see if we can get to another caller. Good morning. You're on the air. What's on your mind?
Did he say that taxes are less this year for the school district than last?
Yeah, our tax rate is $3.89 for the school district, and that's less than it was last year. And 5 years ago, it was $4.13.
Well, my total bill is higher.
Well, yes, of course, your total bill doesn't include, you know, there's more things besides Quincy
Meaning the school district's portion.
Well, that means your assessed value of your home has gone up.
Well, we'll have to check that one out.
Okay. Thank you. That is hard for some people to understand. The tax rate can go down, but the levy itself can actually go up. And that's because, and I don't agree with this either, although I protested. I protested twice and lost both times. People seem to think that your house is worth more every year just because. And that's why, if you own property, your property taxes can actually be more that you have to pay by check, even though the rate went down.
Yeah, and it does go up somewhat. But I would stress to people to look back at what you paid in 5 years ago and this
no
year.
There's no way it's more than it was 5 years ago, is there really?
I would go back and check because our rate is 24 cents. That's a pretty big...
chunk.
Yeah, that we've been able to reduce.
Now, however, John Wood, we'll leave that for another day. Okay. I'm not going to get myself in trouble with Mike Elby, but check out your John Wood if you want to see where some of that money's going. Okay. Well, you're doing a great job. What else can you do? The disparity in dollars spent statewide and the fact that only 21% of the money that you get comes from the state government, when by many interpretations of our Constitution, it should be 51%. But the most important thing to leave folks with today is you've got a plan. And it's in effect, and people shouldn't be walking around going, oh, well, what's going to happen? Because they need to get their kid registered for school or tell you that they want it at home, because you can't just expect the school district to know this.
Right, and keep communicating with us, and be ready for change. It's going to be a fun roller coaster ride for all of us, and we don't know what's around the corner. We don't know what the governor will do. We don't know what our local health department, even though we talk every day, the guidance from them. So be ready for those surprises and changes, and we'll continue to work with you every step of the way.
Thank you very much, Superintendent Roy Webb. Tomorrow on the Mary Griffith Show, the new president of Culver Stockton College, David Palmer, will be stopping by. What is his vision for Culver Stockton College as they have in-person and, of course, online classes as well?